The Arts Channel supports the exploration of artistic expression and culture for all. To explore for yourself, visit uctv.tv/arts.
To breathe and paint with you. This is based on Jeppe Heyn's heart project. It comes from the heart. When he went through difficult times in his life, he found that painting and breathing and combining the two might really change how you feel and how you experience yourself from within. Today we have ultramarine super blue, and I connect to the sky with my brush. I draw it down and do that on canvas. I inhale deeply and I bring it down, and I do this with my paintbrush right here. So inhale and go down, and exhale deeply. And we have exactly 4 strokes, and each one might be slightly different depending on your experience. Each stroke is different from the first, the second, the third. We usually say by the 4th stroke, you will maybe have transformed in some way inside. Maybe you're thinking, hopefully you relax into it. That's our agenda today, to relax, decompress, and speak with the heart, to the heart of others, and build community while we do that.
It's a very helpful technique to help focus, and maybe if there's a lot of exterior factors happening, just using your breath to be where your feet are. And felt like when I use my breath correctly, my lines tend to be straighter. It goes for the same with basketball. You know, when you use your breath and you really lock in, then you're able to get what you want done. And maybe if it helps you at the free throw line, at timeouts, it can be very helpful however you use it.
Hello, I'm Jess Berlanga-Taylor. I'm director and curator of the Stewart Collection at UC San Diego. And I'm here with the artist Jeppe Heyn, who's visiting us from Denmark, to talk about Breathe With Me, which is a multi-day public art project that focuses on mental health and community. Jeppe, welcome to San Diego.
Thank you so much.
We're really thrilled to have you here to inaugurate the Stewart Collection's public program. And I just described Breathe With Me in my own words, but tell us in your own words what it's about.
Yeah, but it's an interactive, I would say, artwork with inviting people to feel themselves, feel their breath. We're inviting now people to come and make an inhale for the world. And when you exhale, you're doing blue lines. As long as you exhale, you're doing this line. And you start to feel yourself, you start to feel connected. You start to feel this kind of connection with the whole world and the universe. And you are very creative. You do something which you maybe never did before. So it's a very beautiful way of showing how important our breath is.
And I've been thinking about Breathe With Me a lot, of course, as ever since we met and discussed and talked about it and the importance of bringing it to this campus. But when we think of breathing, it tends to be such a solitary or individual experience. How did you think about turning breathing into a collective experience?
Yeah, to start to understand that I was 36 years not really thinking about my breath in my life. And in 2009, I had kind of a burnout, which made me wonder. First of all, I couldn't breathe. I had a lot of fear in my life. I needed to change. And then in this kind of context of healing process, I would say, very fast, I started to do small watercolors of trying to find a balance in my life. And I started to do these small lines with watercolor. And then I felt that when I was doing these lines, my heartbeat starting to slow down. My fear disappeared for a while. And also this kind of massive thoughts, which like exploding my head somehow, was starting to calm down. And that helped me to realize how they can really help me with my health and my future at that time. And it became then, how to say, big lines on the museum's walls. And one day, I would ask some people, say, why don't you try to do these breaths or these lines on the wall? And that was a fantastic surprise, because people were like, they were very surprised about, first of all, about feeling maybe sometimes for the first time their breath in this way, but also being very happy to be able to visualize something which normally are invisible. So this combination of of creating something invisible visible is very beautiful.
And can you take us back to 2009 and how you described having these a very difficult moment with breathing, not breathing, feeling disassociated perhaps from your body? I don't want to take words away from you, but can you share a little bit more about how you think you arrived at that stage and why you were feeling so stressed and burnt out?
First of all, yes, I would love to talk about that. I think that it's most important is that I was not really listening to all the signals that my body and my mind was telling me. Also, the people that loved me most around me also telling me that something was going very too fast and I was not really present in my life and so on. And then after the first, fear attack of anxious attack I have in an airplane, where I completely lost control about my body and I couldn't feel my arms. I was shaking. I couldn't breathe, and I tried to have the neighbor, which was a Finnish businessman, trying to explain to me, he should talk to me. In the end, he was trying to explain about his life and his hunting and stuff like that, which calmed me down because my mind went somewhere else.
Okay.
And of course, after that I was a situation, I tried to find out what's going on with me. So I went to different therapy and so on. And one day, I after a couple of months, I found the right one telling me, a Buddhistic nun actually is telling me I needed to stop doing whatever I was doing because I was on a very wrong track. And of course, when she told me that, I started to cry. I felt completely almost on the floor. And I needed to have someone from outside telling me that. And then, of course, I started a lot of therapy and a lot of breathing and yoga and so on. But one of the main thing was to find out afterwards was, why did I didn't listen to all these signals my body was telling me? And that was one of the reasons was I was looking for love, acceptance, fame, money, whatever, all these things, ego things, which you are looking for in your life. And I was, of course, looking for it outside myself. And a lot of the things, or almost every one of those, you can only find in your own heart. And start to recognize and realize that that's the point. Then you can start to find out to be more honest to your own self and to try to work with that. And this is still, but also a very big, a lot of work to dare to look into the mirror.
Yes.
How do I feel now and why do I feel like this? But one thing was very important is that I dared to reach out to get help. And also here on the campus is also, I think, in the situation where people start to feel themselves in the breath, it could also be that someone really need to have a deeper breath and to open up. And this is very important. And I know there's a lot of opportunities and also beautiful people here, not just the next 3 days, but actually at here at this UC college that people can actually go to and get help.
You mentioned something that's really, a few things that really stuck out right now, which we tend to go very fast in this world. And the art world is also a very demanding world, and it does demand success and visibility and presence and to be continuously producing and being out there. And Breathe With Me seems like a project that's inviting us to stop. And only when we stop can we listen to ourselves and really connect with what is happening inside of us. This has been a breaking moment for you. It seems to have affected in a beautiful way the rest of your practice.
Yes.
How have you seen that these, that your breathing and your spiritual and physical practices influence your artwork nowadays?
Yeah, but it's very interesting to look back on it, because while you're in it, you don't really see it. It's like a red thread and you're working and you are open for new inspiration. Of course, just after 2009, I had the burnout. I was not really doing anything. I was only making watercolors, mm-hmm. And trying to actually to find grounding. But then I found out that once a statement called "I'm right here, right now," which I have a white tattoo here on my arm. It was for myself, but "I'm right here, right now" was then the most important thing at that moment, to be in now and present and not always looking at your phone or not always doing two things at one time. Being present, whatever you do, if you go in the toilet, if you talk with someone, if you're eating, whatever, it can be very difficult. And then I could see that could be a nice neon text. So then I bended the neon, put it behind the mirror so you could see yourself in the mirror. "I'm right here, right now." And you said, "Am I or am I not?" Mm-hmm. And this, like, so when people see that, and it become like these kind of inspiration, which I read something, I saw something, I could come up with these different texts. "So you're amazing just the way you are," or you don't have to be perfect to be here. Things which I reflect on a lot in a kind of a process. And they came out. And then, of course, I start to paint more. I start to do other things. I start to do balloons, which was very early. And recently, I understood that a balloon is symbolizing, for instance, something which you're sending out a wish or you wonder. And at that time, I wished to be healthy. I was like, I had fear attacks every night and I was not feeling well. And I knew every night when it's around 8:30, and then my body started to shake and so on. So it was very, how do I deal with these things, of course. I was practicing a lot of breathing and doing a lot of lines, but I was also making therapy and stuff like that to try to find a balance. So, but anyway, back to the artwork. So the work changing in the sense of understanding my work. Some of the work I didn't change, I just keep on doing, but my reflection on it looking backwards was very much doing an artwork called Enlightenment in 2001, which I have no idea what enlightenment was. I just thought it was something light was glowing. Mm-hmm. Now I see it very different, the word. And things like so I start to understand my works in a much more different spiritual way. And that was very inspiring. And now it's again, since the last half a year, I had a break where I didn't had contact to the art world and not even my studio. And I needed to go into a deeper process of meditation and go behind the creativity to see where is this coming from. And of course, this is also creating. Then certainly I start to use clay and paint again and do things which I haven't done for many, many years because I want to touch the material.
It's bringing back the body into your work.
Yes.
And that's something that I'm hoping people connect with through Breathe With Me here. We're in a campus. So the big focus of this university, of course, is developing the mind. Yeah. And I think when I was exploring your work and thinking about what we could do for this campus, Breathe With Me was such a, I don't want to say obvious, but it just emerged as something that we really need here, which is how do we connect our minds with our bodies? Because it's that disconnection that seems to create a lot of anxiety.
Yes.
And I know that it's hard work. You from what you say, it's everyday work. You have to remind yourself every single day that you're here, you are now, you're your mind and your body at the same time. How is it that you develop, what kind of practices do you do every day to remind yourself that you're here and you're present?
Yeah, so I'm not waking up looking at my phone. So this is one of the first things. I'm waking up, and then if I have the kids, as I told you, I have four kids, so then I'm doing the picnic for them for the school and so on. And then after they are out of the house, and I've been drinking my first coffee before I drink tea with ginger and lime juice in.
Okay.
Then I can turn my telephone on, for instance. Mm-hmm. Then depending on the day, but normally I will go straight out to a place which I have a kind of a small meditation place, mm-hmm. Where I'm very much alone. and I will sit one period, which is like 15 minutes. I'm not doing that every day, but I am meditating every day. But the morning session is not always the same. And then I also need to come to the body. So I need to do some yoga or go surfing, which I do a lot. So I am taking the time to do things which makes me healthy. And now I'm 50, so I really need to do it. And you even more have to do it when you are 20, I think, but that's another thing. So we have to learn that although you don't think you have time for that, you need to take time to do something nice for you. So I am at the moment meditating 2 to 3 hours a day, but it's of course sometimes before people awake and when people are sleeping, my family, and then in the middle I found a time. So it's a lot of time, but it's very important for me to keep the balance. But it can also be sport, and it can be yoga, it can be whatever. It's just that you're using your body and forgetting your telephone.
Yes, forgetting telephone, that which takes us outside of the present moment,
yes,
and of our bodies.
Yeah.
So how do you see, you have 4 kids, and of course, like any other young person, they're probably fascinated by the digital world.
Yes.
Is that something that you think about?
Oh, and yeah.
How do you deal with that?
We have to discuss all the time. We have 18, I mean, she's her own, I can't do anything about it. But she was also in the middle of her life, the whole thing exploded. So then of course it's getting more and more difficult. The 4 years old, he has already, not a telephone, of course, and not an iPad, but he's always very fixed on it because the 9 years old, she has an iPad,
yeah,
and she's watching and so on. So it's very complicated to find way of being present. So it's about saying, okay, you have this certain time now, then afterwards we go to the beach and surf, or we go out jumping on the trampoline, mm-hmm, or whatever we do, but not something digital. So it's again, I think, as parents to find a balance between, and you can avoid it, and it's okay,
yeah,
and it's also a big tool for a lot of young kids. But again, as a parent, I think you have a very big responsibility that you don't forget them, because it's very easy just to park them over there and you don't hear anything for 3 hours. So this is a big challenge for the parents.
Okay. I've also, these last few days, especially that you've been here and that,
yes,
we've been able to talk more and more in person, something that I'm learning from you also is authenticity, and how these processes you've gone through and you continue to delve deeper into your journey are revealing who you are more and more. And you don't seem afraid of revealing your authentic self to others. How is that something that you think about? Have you seen other people react positively to that? It's not easy, it's vulnerable also,
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah, I think I felt very, very, I'm growing up in a social democratic world,
mm-hmm,
and with hippie parents, so we talk a lot about feelings and emotions.
Okay.
But I felt that when I start to share my story to people, this vulnerable, to show vulnerability and to show that you're weak, that you can show that you are afraid, that you're lost, and talk about these things. And actually made me much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I show that I'm weak or I don't know how to do things, I grow because I'm not afraid of showing that. And I can only try to inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I also get back to inspiration after my burnout. Now I'm just making a small funny thing, but mm-hmm, I made a book called The Happiness of Burnout.
Which seemed a contradiction.
Contradiction, yeah. And I think that to make this book was of course also to make inspiration for everyone to not be afraid of what's happening, because to be burned out, of course, it was the worst thing ever happened in my life, because I really think a lot of times in my process, I should die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and to have death feelings, not to be able to breathe on, is not nice. But at the same time, I look back on it as some of the most important thing in my life, because it changed the way I looked at things. I started to breathe, mm-hmm, practice breathing. Just to say that I'm still losing my breath once in a while. Now we are here, I have 3 days of long days. I need some breaks and try to breathe, because my heart starts to beat fast and I'm not really nervous, but I'm very I'm kind of, I would say, excited. Mm-hmm. And it makes you also stressed and so on. So it's again a way of finding a balance, but again to show that actually that you can, like, you can get help and you can come through it. And I'm very positive in a sense, and I'm also very ironic about my own, I think, my own ego and my me, and I'm not afraid of making fun and talking about funny situations or maybe also awkward and scary situations. And I think that just make it more and easier to deal with in my own practice.
Yes, it's you incorporate a great sense of humor and playfulness, while also talking about very serious matters.
Yes.
And so you are one of the artists that has been able to incorporate play in very meaningful ways. Can you share a little bit about some of the artworks that have to do with play?
Yeah.
And how have you been able to keep being playful?
Yeah.
As an adult?
Yeah. I mean, playfulness has developed in a way. The first piece I did was called Moving Wall, and it was a wall coming out of a wall if you sit on a bench, so everything activated and people thought they have a magic bomb, but they didn't. There was a sensor in the bench, but to see how people reacting being a part of the artwork inspired me at that time a lot, and I developed that in a sense. And then I just find this kind of tool that playfulness is a way of breaking down our boundaries and our barriers that we are protecting ourselves around. And if you start to play, you step quite often out of your comfort zone. And if you're out there, you're more open, you're authentic quite often, and you smile with your heart normally. You can be nervous, but it's kind of nice to be out there. And I think that makes me think an inspiration of how to bring people to open up their heart a little bit with playfulness. And what happened when you open up your heart, I can't tell you, but I can tell you what happened, a lot of things in me when I open up my heart, which I try to do every day more and more. So
we don't realize that we close ourselves sometimes, even in our postures. People tend to close up like this, and yes, we always need to remind ourselves to really open up, because it means our hearts are more and more open.
Yeah.
So,
and then interactivity, which is very important also for playfulness, is of course something where you're inviting people to create something, to be creative, to be part of something, and that makes it even stronger, because you're going through a water wall and you're standing in a room and there's a beautiful rainbow in the water, and suddenly someone coming into you in this room and you smile. And it doesn't matter if it's a child or older person, if they has a beautiful color skin or whatever, but it's just open up your mind in a way, and that makes me very happy when that happens. And I know also, not for me to compare with anyone other artist, but in the history of Bodmeister Fuller, Charlie Chaplin and so on, I'm not going in this direction, but they did the same. They're using humor and addressing something very politically in the sense of their art form. And there are many other artists did that, but it's not easy.
No, it's not. And it's because you're in public space and you're bringing in very sensitive issues to public space and in very different contexts that sometimes aren't your own.
Yeah.
And I've always, as a curator, I've always admired artists who don't want to control the entire situation, right? And it's really about people's participation and how they're completing the offering that you're putting out there.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's a radically political act, actually.
Yeah.
And it should happen in public space.
Asia.
Because these are the kind of language that we can create together and make a lot of these invisible moments of feeling alone or a little sad and maybe frightened, feeling all of that in public space together and then transcending it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of Breathe With Me and a lot of the work that you do. So yes, I'm very grateful that we can do it with you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, thank you so much, but also the last couple of days I've been walking around here on the campus and visiting a lot of the artworks. And of course, some of the artworks has this feeling of being very present, being humoristic.
Yes.
The beautiful, the small house or falling star on the roof, and we went up there, and I was not expecting that physically situation that I felt completely wrong. Yes. Which I heard the story about him feeling a little bit wrong in a culture or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that so you already have that in one way very manifested here in the Stuart Collection. Mm. And now I think, as I feel, you're bringing something new in, because it's going to be more projects sometimes.
Yes.
And I think it's very exciting. I'm totally excited about it.
Thank you so much. I think that maybe we should try and paint some lines.
Yes,
and just kind of stand up and do a lot of what you do.
Yeah. I will show you one time. We have a brush, we have blue paint, the blue color. Is coming from, not from my blue eyes, but it's coming from the ocean and the reflection of the sky, and especially today and the next days, I'm sure we will have very beautiful, beautiful color. So we're breathing in the world, and we're trying to breathe all the way down to our stomach. We'll be exhaling, we're giving out the world something. And here we, as long as we are exhaling, we're giving out, so we're breathing in, and we're exhaling. So as long as we exhale, I'll do another one. As long as we do the brush down.
How many lines do you think it takes for people to sort of start maybe feeling the flow of the breath work and painting?
Yeah, so normally my experience is that the first one is very nervous. You're like, you don't know exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. And then after the first one, the second one is getting more relaxed. Now I know how the brush and the paint react. And then the third one and the fourth one, normally we will do four. So the two last one is more like you're finding out that the line getting longer because your exhale is getting more relaxed. Mm-hmm. So we are here, we're doing four, and I think the last two is getting you more calmed down.
Yes, because I'm feeling like the actual connecting the brush with my hand, with my brain, with my body, and then the breath work.
Yeah.
So all of those, there are a lot of things happening at the same time.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of memories.
Yeah.
So
don't think so much.
No, I won't think so.
just don't overthink it and don't have any feelings. It's impossible. Just breathing in and then exhaling slowly. And it's not a competition, so it's just as long as you exhale is, you just stop. And a little bit more paint on it. And inhale. Back two more, please.
Okay.
And that.
I could keep going.
Yeah, how do you feel?
Because you do. I feel more present.
Yeah.
I feel that it's, and more associated between my body and my brain.
Yeah.
Like it all comes together.
Yeah. Come closer together.
Yes.
Yes.
We all come closer together.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, because we're all now doing a artwork together for the next days.
Yeah.
Very big artwork.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.